Blog Talk Radio.
One thing we do know, the Fox tail have been lit and the curtain have went up. So let's see if we can get
on the ninth episode, part number 129. So to see, we found out we're going to be on stage for the ninth episode, part number 129. Let's see. We'll find out we're going to be on stage for a special edition called Thursday Evening. And we'll start with the young lion, Brother Micaiah, up and coming teacher out of Camp One, and showing good potentials. All them young lions. And the mother said, "We got, don't worry, said we got an eye on them young lions. You know, you just do what you got to do. We watching them young lions. We'll find out if they're about cameo or if they're for real. You just keep doing what you got to do." All right. That's what I like. That was the most. All right. So when you meet the young lion with a loud voice, you say, "Young lion from Camp One, up and coming teacher, Brother Micaiah. Yahweh beat you there, Steve Roy.
Yahweh bless you. Dear Israel. Oh, Steve Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That young lion just called a special edition called Thursday Evening. And that's a great thing, no doubt about it. And let's see where the mother's at. We know one thing about it. The mother, like I said again, they said, "Well, you know, we don't watch you as much as we used to watch you, because we fairly clear you all right. We just gonna watch them young lions." I said, "That's right. That sounds good. Watch them young lions." And because we're going to do our part. We got too much time in this thing with them to not do our part. Let's see where the mother's at. Mother E, tribe of Yagdah, Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp One, three of them. Hey, Mother E, tribe of Yagdah, Judah, Yahweh beat you,
see
you right.
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Mother Z. Now, Mother Z is going to address this national audience shortly. And she always got something to tell this national audience. But I got a comment on it. Say, when Mother just going to look right in that microphone and sit up straight? Well, she'll sit you straight. She'll read a couple of verses for you, but old Mother Z, she will sit you straight. Don't worry. So when is she going to sit this national audience straight? Now, what you saying, WCC? Seer, it's over 500,000 plus on the international side. Okay, why don't you show me that, Dan? Well, you do that. Take that tag off and let me peek. All right, so Mother Z. Yahweh
beat
you,
see you,
right?
He's not
oh, okay. She's not here right now. She's somewhere at her desk getting to address the nation, right? So she's at her desk somewhere. Well, that's a good thing. No doubt about it. All right, so we'll get with Mother Z a little bit later in the broadcast. One thing about it, waiting on you. And, yeah, I see a lot of stuff on here. Good. All right, let's swing down. Let's see about Mother D.F. Israel. Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, YHDH tribe. She's from the YHDH tribe, Yahdah tribe. Okay. Mother D.F. Israel, Yahweh beat you, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, Seer, Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There, Mother D.F. Israel. All right. Excellent. Mother D.F. Israel. And swing around Detroit, Michigan. One thing about it, Detroit, Michigan, in case I'm still, you know I'm always ready. I'm always ready. So whenever you need Detroit or Camp Ocho, hot on the microphone, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. I'm in and winning too. All right. Pretty good there, Camp Ocho, Detroit, Michigan. Princess Leora Israel out of Camp O, Detroit, Michigan. Yahweh beat you there, Steve Ray. Princess Leora Israel out of Camp 4. It's in Latter-day Saints. Silver, we got to nuke somebody. We nuked the hill of last night. We gonna nuke Detroit right now. Oh yeah. All right. Well, okay. Good enough on that. Real one thing. You in control right now. But one thing about it, we can. You know, that's why you never know what the lesson is gonna be about. Well, after we bring our elder in, we'll take a look at these memos. Because one thing about it, Yahuwah got his eyes on things and the timeline on everything. You never know what we're going to catch y'all in a minute. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll bring our elder in, and he'll tell y'all about the broadcast. And I'll look at a couple more of these old memos, and we'll get on it so we can meet the elder with a loud voice. You say, Elder Mr. Chills, Yahuwah bid you there, see you right here.
And Yahuwah bless you, serious elder, see you royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there, Elder Mr. Chill. Well, Elder, all I can tell you, the Fox K have been lit, and the WCC said it made it plain this year is over 500,000 plus, but all that old two up, not you. It's okay. I understand that. So, you know, I'm going to touch on something behind that. These statements like that, see, that's how we get left. Sometimes when you make statements, that be Yahuwah make you make statements. But you know what? You never know what's going to happen after the elder let you know who bring this broadcast. We will see. What you just said might come back on you. And let me look a couple of my notes on something. What you just said, it triggered a reaction in me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to look through my paperwork. And I'm going to check something out since y'all said that. Elmer's Kill, take your time and let the national audience over 500,000 plus know who bring this broadcast. You're on the clock. Come on.
What? Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And you know, that's always a good thing, as I've said before. Because many people want to hear the words of Yahuwah, and many people try to walk in a path to get there. But some have too much stuff in their way, and they never make it. This is why in the book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 14, we read, 13 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Well, we are the few that try to make the many follow us so that they can get to that gateway of life. Sometimes you see people that try to be rude in their speech or even try to lead you away from that which you know by one way or another. But what happens? Then Samuel, in chapter 13, verse 17, says, he called unto a servant that ministered unto him and said, put this woman out for me and bolt the door after her. You know, that tells you, everybody can't be a teacher. This is why I say a teacher can't learn from his students. But because he's given wise counsel and having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. Even a student that learns from the same kind of teacher can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves, like we see the young lions out there doing under wise counsel from the seer. And this shows well in all six camps they teach. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures, we're giving the knowledge and the Bible precepts to know that those out there, they camouflage their evil or confused teachings. And overly loud bump the gums for righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. And we've even heard that outside the gate. Shouting scriptures at us and thinking that's going to make us bend the ways of Yahuwah. I think probably they've forgotten what it says, what Yahuwah hates in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. 16 says, these six things doeth the Yahuwah hate, yea, even 7 are abomination unto him, a proud look and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 18, a heart of mind that devilish wicked imagination, and feet that be swift and running into mischief. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that discords discord among his brothers or sisters. We try to keep the spirit going and act as it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. 3 says, and every spirit that confesses not that Yahweh the Son has come in the flesh is not of Yahweh. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahweh. For if you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. So this is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of confusion. A lot of bump the gums and people throwing scriptures at you, trying to use the word of Yahweh to condemn you. That's the worst curse you can put on yourself, is the curse of Yahweh. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's word and connecting the books, your health and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information you all came to seek and have to look no further. You found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday, current time, starting at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. After you click enter, just under a big line, you will see choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu, but still after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh alive. Also for building a school, which we can see is very well needed for the people that have been taught wrongly. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Also while there, don't forget to check that calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, which includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is only available during live broadcast time. Just enter 3 words on the search line, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. This is good also for people that can't dial our number that I'm going to give you in a few minutes. You can also get there and listen to the live broadcast without dialing in on your tablet, computer, even your cell phone using the internet connection, using Yahweh Radio Live. We also have 2 email addresses. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is YHDH, YSR, AEL@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind, as I said before. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This will be our international phone number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, please do not call this number trying to teach. You will absolutely not receive a response. Remember the description I have given you in the book of Shirach, chapter 6, verse 6. 6 says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless, but have one counselor over 1,000. Also, by calling this number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name, the correct address, you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Sikar Man, and answering many memos, and now even addition to that, being bothered by the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back unless you're calling that number trying to teach. Also, when you have found out you've missed the beginning of our program today, you can also listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do that, just enter Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click enter, once again, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Choose the program that you are late logging into. Or at that point, you can pick any previous day that you see that you would like to listen. Also, during the normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Paltalk, where the sound is crystal clear. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. You will find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on the table topics we discussed will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, riding the shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic for any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find the broad talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Paltalk. So we can let the teaching begin. We will pass our program back to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You know, that's excellent on your part. But that was, I could have spent a little bit more time because I was looking at something. And now they say that's a pretty big word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I can pronounce it, but you know I get more calls if I pronounce this word. So the Catholic Church saying out of New York that the WCC and the Latter-day Saints sprang out of our organization, okay? And we are a, check this word down, Brother Micaiah, and run this word down. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I can take a shot at it, but I'm not going to. I'll get more calls on trying to pronounce this word than it's told to me exactly what it means, but I want to make sure. It's D-E-S-P-O-T-I-S-H. I'll pronounce it again, spell it again. D-E-S. P-O-T-I-S-H. The New York the New York Roman Catholic Church says that the Latter-day Saints and the WCC sprung out from under us. And we all three is this word right here. D-E-S-P-O-T-I-S-E. I-S-M. So look up them words, A-L-E. Whoever come up with this word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I'm not going to even try to pronounce this word. D-E-S-P-O-T-I-S-M. I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
Mr. X, you have described the Muslim movement as a religious organization, and you said that there are a great many misconceptions about your attitudes and stated views. Could we press for a very simple answer to one question? Do you hate all white people? I don't think it's a fair question. The white man doesn't even come into my attitude. Mr. Muhammad teaches us to love our own kind and let the white man take care of himself. For a white man today, sir, after kidnapping millions of black people from Africa, stripping them of all human characteristics and relegating them to the role of chattel or cattle or animals, commodity, merchandise that could be bought and sold at will, and then 100 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, using every type of deceptive method to further us into slavery, called second-class citizenship, I think that it would take a whole lot of nerve for white people today to ask Negroes, do they hate them? Mr. X, you have described the Muslim movement as a religious organization, and you said that there are a great many misconceptions about your attitudes and stated views. Could we press for a very simple answer to one question? Do you hate all white people? I don't think it's a fair question. The white man doesn't even come into my attitude. Mr. Muhammad teaches us to love our own kind and let the white man take care of himself. For a white man today, sir, after kidnapping millions of black people from Africa, stripping them of all human characteristics and relegating them to the role of chattel or cattle or animals, commodity, merchandise that could be bought and sold at will, and then 100 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, using every type of deceptive method to further us into slavery, called second-class citizenship, I think that it would take a whole lot of nerve for white people today to ask Negroes, do they hate them?
Yes, sir. When FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover was asked, what was the single greatest threat to the USA? He answered, Negro unity. When FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover was asked, what was the single greatest threat to the USA? He answered, Negro unity.
All right. Young Lion, if you got the definition of this word that we I'm looking at a old piece of note, and I see this word. I'm not gonna try to pronounce this word. I'm not gonna try to pronounce it, but it has a definition to it because it's not a word that is taught in school, but it's also taught in private school about this word. It's taught in private school. This word right here is taught in private school. It's not taught in your regular classes. So I want to know, can you give me the definition of the word D-E-S-P-O-T-I-S-E? And I just saying WCC, we gonna mute the elder. We gonna mute the elder. Well, I see you like muting, don't you? All right, Young Lion, what you got on that word, Jack? Young Lion, come on.
Okay, we got despotism, absolute, oppressive absolute. Then it got a second definition, is power and authority exerted by government. And the excessive of absolute power, especially in a cruel and oppressive way.
Exactly right. So that's exactly what it means. So the New York Catholic Church says they have absolute power in religious matter and another matter. Okay, but they have absolute power in religious matters, and that is true. So this is the word they use in, you know, and they use, but they'll never teach this to you. But this word means that the Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints that sprung out of the Roman Catholic Church, and the World Council of Churches that sprung out of the WCC, sprung out of the Roman Catholic Church, they have absolute power, rulership over religion. And that is true. You know? So we'll leave it like that, because that is true, what you just said. So I'm clear that you sending me a strong message for me to know that you have the absolute power. Good. All right, let's see which way that goes in the special edition called Thursday evening. So we're clear where you stand at with this long word you got. So now, but we don't use this word, but we know you use the word, and everybody of your descent knows what that word means, to let them know that we are still in absolute rulership. I got you. All right, good enough. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Makai, let's see what we can get going on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that gave me a chance to look up some of my old notes. I got an essay on a book. I was given this book to just do an essay on it since that statement was made. It's called PERIL of the Republic of the United States of America, originally published in 1899 by Percy Tyson Magan, M-A-G-A-N. And he in this book, we got all the pages that really makes a lot of sense, but he depicted exactly some information that was never told to, but in his book, it tells you exactly some things that they already know, but you don't know. That's good. But we'll leave it like that, too. So now we got our Luke in, but let's go to Sirach chapter 10. We open up on a special edition called Thursday Evening. In Sirach chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. What can we read out of Sirach chapter 10, verse 1 and 2?
Going to the book of Sirach. Going to the book of Sirach. Chapter 10. Picking up at verse 1 and verse 2. The book of Sirach chapter 10, verse 1 reads, a wise seer will instruct his people, and the government of a prudent man is well ordered. Verse 2, as the judge of the people is himself, so are his officers. And what manner of man the ruler of the city is, such are all they that dwell therein.
Now, what do you say? He said a wise seer will instruct his people. See, the wise seer's job is to inform the six anointed council with the elders and get them prepared for what's in front of them. So a wise seer will instruct them exactly all the tactics that's coming up. So if you're a wise seer, you'll get congregation prepared, and that's the six anointed camps, starting with the elders, mothers, elder fathers, and then their job is to get to the fathers, fathers get to the mothers, mothers get to the children. That's understandable. So now in the book of Sirach 37, we're going to get a precept on the same thing there, Brother Micaiah. Give me a precept in Sirach 37, verse 23 down to verse 26. We want a precept because we want to take a look at exactly what is said, and we're going to see if we tie into it on the special edition called Thursday evening with over 5,000 plus on the international side. So, in the book of Sirach 37, 23 down to verse 26. What is said, we can read that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse 23 reads, a wise seer instructed his people, and the fruits of his understanding shall not. Verse 24, a wise seer shall be filled with blessings, and all they that see him shall count him happy. Verse 25, the days of the life of man may be numbered, but the days of Israel are innumerable. Verse 26, a wise seer shall instruct glory among his people, and his name shall be perpetual.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So let's go to the book of EZRA, out of regular book there, Brother Micaiah. We're looking at EZRA out of the regular book, Ezra, and we'll look at chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 12, 13, 15, 18, down to verse 20. EZRA chapter 4, verse 12, 13, 15, 18 through 20, come on.
Going to the book of Ezra, EZRA, verse 12. Verse 13, 15 down to 20. Book of Ezra, chapter 4.
No, 15. Mm-hmm. 15 and skip down to 18 through 20. Mm-hmm. 12, 13, okay. 15, and skip down to 18, 19, and 20.
Okay. The book of Ezra, EZRA, chapter 4, verse 12, 13, 15, 18 down to 20. Verse 12 reads, be it known unto the king that Yada Judah, which came up from you to us, are come unto Yada Judah, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundation. Verse 13, be it known now unto the king that if this city be built and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom. And so you shall damage the revenue of the king. Verse 15, that search may be made in the book of the records of your father. So shall you find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time. For which cause was this city destroyed? Verse 18, the letter which you sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. Verse 19, and I command, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made an insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Verse 20, there have been mighty kings also over Yadgadzu, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them.
So, and Nehemiah 2 verse 10, and our mother, he held me, Ecclesiastes chapter, regular book chapter 1, verse 1, down to verse number 11. So you see, what you just said to me about your absolute rulership, we understand that you have absolute rulership now. But it's all because of certain things happen for that to happen. But in the days of old, Yadah Judah had absolute rulership. But they have lost it, and we will find out why, for you make the statement that you made. We'll find out why as it unfolds. Now, what do Nehemiah 2 verse 10 say, Brother Micaiah?
Book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly, that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you be reminded that really you really grieve because you got a ministry can seek the welfare of the children of Israel and to be reminded of your dominancy that you have today is all because of the peoples of the book lost their position. And we'll find out why. And in this book of this parrot, P-E-R-I-L, of the Republicans of the United States of America, originally published in 1899 by Percy Tyson Megan. Now, we have all the details about it. We've done an essay on it years ago, and I'm looking at some things here. For you to make that statement, it's already a statement that was made in 1899, but it's a little bit more detailed that since you brought it out, that we're going to take a look at. Maybe not in this lesson, but in one to come. And you might give a shot of it in this lesson. I don't know. We'll see. But right now, we're going to turn to Mother Eve in the book of Ecclesiastes, the regular book. I'm going to look at 1 through 11, and I want to see exactly what is you trying to tell me. And 1 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 1 through 11. Mother E, you on the clock, come out.
Book Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Judah. Vanity of vanity, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he takes under the sun? Verse 4. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever. Verse 5. The sun also arises. And the sun goes down and haste to his place where he arose. Verse 6. The wind goes towards the south and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually. And the wind returns again according to his circuit. Verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Still, they run again. Verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot other sin. He asked is not satisfied with sin, nor the ill still with him. Verse 9, the thing that has been, it is, that which shall be, and that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Verse 10, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
So what we just found out that see, when you hear statements, all statements is already coming from old. Just like we just read the statement based upon what the big dignitary says, that we have absolute power, supremacy over all, and that is true. But we found out there is nothing new upon the sun. Everything that was said now have been said once before. Now, Mother D of Israel. So now, Mother D of Israel, we're going to try to break down that what we unheard, because that's not a regular word, but everything came from somewhere. So it's nothing new when you hear something. It's always have been said of old. And once upon a time ago, the Southern Kingdom was in power. And everybody paid Judah tributes, tolls, and customs. But now it doesn't happen anymore because of the statement we just heard earlier by the Catholic Church out of New York, showing up soundly that the Latter-day Saints and the WCC sprung out of us, and we have, what's that word again? We got a, and we got, what's that word again? A Brother Micaiah, you pronounce it better than I can, so I'm not going to just, you pronounce the word and give the meaning again. What's that word you say they got?
That hypocrisy. The excessive of absolute power, especially in a cruel and oppressive way.
Yeah, right. Pronounce that word again.
Let me look at it again.
Pronounce that word again, then read the meaning of it.
Okay. I want to make sure I pronounce it right, because I got to look at it.
We'll get back with it in a few minutes. Grab your better half for a minute and go over that word real carefully, because if I can pronounce it, no problem. But I have more calls on pronouncing the words than actually breaking down the meaning of it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going back to Mother D of Israel, and that give you a chance to write that word down, then have a better half. Rehearse the righteous act with you, and then come back, be prepared to give the word and the definition shortly. Now, Mother D of Israel, we're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Help me out there, Mother. Let's see what we can read out of Ecclesiastes, out of regular book, chapter 1, 9 through 11. Mother D of Israel, one more time. One more again. You're on the clock. Come on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, the thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Verse 10, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. Verse 11. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
Mm-hmm. So, it's no remembrance of former things, and it's not going to be taught about your position in former years, but we read that in once upon a time ago in history, the children of the Southern Kingdom in EZRA has dominion over the world, which would never be taught. That's why it's so boldly that the Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and the WCC, World Council of Churches, specifically New York, said they all sprung up out of the Roman Catholic. Good. So, but they got this big old powerful word that they use among themselves. But now we know how to break that word down. We can break that word down, and we know exactly what it means in our terms. Now, Mother D of Israel, let's go to and talk about this thing. So it's no new thing. It's no new thing. So any statement is made, it's nothing new about this thing. And Yahweh will make it plain that in 16 verse 1, help me out, before you go to Ecclesiastes 3:15 of Mother D.F. Israel, I want to make a little slight detour just for a minute. Go to Proverbs 16 verse 1, and let's get warmed up right there. Proverbs 16 verse 1, what does it say?
Proverbs 15 or 16?
Yes, ma'am. Write it down. 16 verse 1.
Okay. Proverbs 16. Okay. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 reads, the preparation of the mind in man and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So you see, sometimes man will say something, and man, woman say something. No, don't you know why they say what they say? So that the secret was revealed on the network, that what power, the absolute power they have in religious matters today. Now, why they said that? It was for the timeline, for whatever that's in the dark must come to the light. And that's a great thing. Now, look at Proverbs 21, verse 1 there, Mother D of Israel.
Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's mind is in the hand of Yahweh. The rivers of water,
mm-hmm.
He turneth it whithersoever he will.
You see that? So Yahweh said, I'm in the control of everything, and when statements come out, it's to your advantage. It's to your advantage to understand that this is a timeline for most things that have been sealed is to be revealed. So a lot of statements going to be coming out, just like what's been revealed that been sealed at once upon a time ago in the book of EZRA, the Southern Kingdom, Judah, had monopoly dominion over the whole existing world. But it's never been taught in anybody's school system that got a high school diploma or a college degree. They don't know nothing about that. And that's why it's so important to understand when we change this flyer around a little bit, is to bring to the attention that the 12 tribes of Israel on this chart, Judah, now called the black African American Negro. Now he called that. But who? Judah. But we read that once upon a time ago, Judah was in control. But we've been taught all our life with degrees that you never did anything. But now we got proof that you did something. But you lost it, and we're going to find out how did you lose it and how to get it back. You know, the same thing you had when you read in Ezra chapter 4. By understanding where you once were and what happened. That's the key. Now let's find out what this thing is, Mother, that we can read. What this thing, let's go to Ecclesiastes 3:15 now, Mother. 3:15 of Ecclesiastes, and help me out in 3:15.
Me?
Yeah, Mother D.F. Israel, 3:15, help me out now. Help the O.C. out and give me some powerful reading in 3:15 of Ecclesiastes, regular book.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and Yahweh requires that which is past.
That big talk, hey Mother, that's some great big talk. Now you should read that again now. And for that big talk, you just got to read now. Now you just read a bombshell. So now you need to kind of make sure you bring it out in grand style. And 3:15, one more again, and 3:15. What did it say again?
Ecclesiastes chapter 3:15. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and Yahweh requires that which is past.
So the thing that is now has already been. So the thing that now has already been, the thing has been recycled. So let's break it down. What is you trying to tell us that we need to know by going to Ecclesiastes 6:10? What is this thing you talking about that has already been, but in the same token, that thing is here now? What is you trying to tell us on take number 129 that we can read in Ecclesiastes 6:10? Come on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 6:10. That which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he.
Oh, so the thing he talked about is man being recycled over, and just like man couldn't contend against him back in ancient times, man cannot contend with him now. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's talking about man. See, man now have got a spirit on him where he's got a puffed up spirit, and he'll make some statements. He'll make some statements, Mother D.F. Israel. See, this is what man will say now. We don't go and read the record no more, but man will make statements like this and get away with it. You know why? Because he has everything to work with, but he'll make statements like this in Daniel chapter 4. He'll say some things, Mother, that we need to hear about what man would say in his mind. Let's see what man will say in his mind in verse 4, verse 28. down to 30. See, this is man talking. See, the man is the thing that is, have been and is here now. But the mind, the man's mind thinking have never changed. And now we'll get a case in point in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, 28 down to verse 30. We're talking about man. Now let's see if we start putting an image on this man that makes these kind of statements, just like the statement we got about this absolute power in religious matter by the Catholic Church. And not only that, to let us know plainly that the Latter-day Saints and the World Council of Churches sprung out of us. And we have the dominion, but the Catholic Church made it plainly out of New York saying this. But we the one got rulership according to religious math. So that's it. So in the fourth chapter, verse 28 to 30, let's see where this speech coming from, Mother Dear of Israel. So where is all this good speech coming from that we can read in Daniel chapter 4, 28 down to verse 30?
Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. Verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadrezzar. Verse 29. I'm not pronouncing it right.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar. That's good. Nebuchadnezzar.
29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?
Ain't that something? See that? So don't pop them spirits, but it go a long way back.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be surprised how you make a statement, you know, based upon to remind us about life. This is my radio station. I can mute who I get, who I want to. I can, and let you know we got over religious matters that we run it, Seer. We run everything, and it's our to pass out. We can even mute you. Yes, you're right. But there's a lot of things that have not been said that have to be revealed, and we're going to go back to Brother Micaiah and see if he is able to pronounce that word in grand style, because I don't want to pronounce it. I know how to pronounce it. But, you know, I'll get more calls on me mispronouncing a word like I'm so interested in the king's language. I care less about the king's language. You'll get my point across through these scriptures. So, Bubba Kaya, bring that word back. Then give me the definition of that word that we heard in the beginning of the broadcast. Come on.
Despotism, the exercise of absolute power, especially in a cruel and oppressive way. Despotism.
Say it again.
Despotism. Despotism.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, that's right. And that word is absolute power in a cruel and a deceitful way. D-E-S-P-O-T-I-S-M. So they do have absolute power in religious matters, but you ain't always once had it. You've done it by being a Brother Micaiah, a 10-1 in St. John. This is how you are obtained in St. John 10-1. You have it now, no doubt about it. But it all happened, and we're going to read shortly how that happened in 10 verse 1 of St. John.
The book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbing up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.
Okay. Now, I'll give you a case in point. Now, James, his brother, made a profound statement. Now, listen to what James says in James 5:16. Now, James made a profound statement. In the book of James, Brother Micaiah, this is what James said. Now, James is the brother of Yahweh the Son. Listen what he says in 5:16.
The book of James, chapter 5:16. Verse 16 reads, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
He said, confess your faults one to another for you to be healed. None of the 17 nations ever confessed their faults for them to be healed. Healed means being in the line for salvation. So all the deep secrets that you have and you haven't confessed it, how you got what you got, and you got it by coming up another way. So until you confess your faults on how you receive all this supreme power, then you will not be in line for salvation, because the only way you'll get in the line to be saved for salvation, you got to confess your faults. How did you get to that power? Because we read that Judah had the power. And everything that was paid to him, but what happened to Judah that nobody never discussed. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a look and see how did Judah lose his position. What the world would never tell you that is written right into this book of books called the Bible. Now, we go on to the 16th chapter. We read that the children of Judah was once every road led to them, and tribute, tolls, and custom was paid to them. But what happened? That's what we want to know for the conversation that's going on right now about how did this power shift. Whose hand was in this to have the power shift from Judah hand unto the 17 nations, especially the descendants of Esau? How did it happen? Let's find out. Can we read something in Jeremiah? We're going to the 16th chapter, and we'll start reading right there, Brother Micaiah. And let's see what we can read a little bit in the 16th chapter. Now, Jeremiah was raised from the womb in 1:4-6 to deliver the message to the children of the book. Let's see what was told to Jeremiah to tell the children of Judah, southern kingdom. Let's pick up at verse number 1. Let's do a little read. I'm be breaking in on you now, so be all ears too without breaking on you. It all depends on properly you can get enough in before I break in on you and put some precepts on it. But let's take a look at 16:1. You're on the clock, Brother Micaiah. Come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 16:1. Verse 1 reads, the word of Yahweh came also unto me, saying, 2, you shall not take you a wife, neither shall you have son or daughter in this place. Verse 3, for thus says Yahweh concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begot them in this land. Verse 4. They shall die of grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. and they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and their carcass shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Verse 5. For thus says Yahweh, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament, nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, said Yahweh, even loving kindness and mercy. Verse 6. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall man lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Verse 7. Neither shall man tear themselves for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall man give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Verse 8. You shall not also go into the house of people to sit with them to eat and to drink. Verse 9. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your day the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of bridegroom and the voice of bride. Verse 10. And it shall come to pass when you shall show this people all these words, and they shall say unto you, wherefore have Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our sin? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Yahweh, our Yahweh? Verse 11. Then shall you say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, said Yahweh, and have walked after false Yahweh, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my Torah instruction. Verse 12. And you have done worse than your father. For behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil mind, that they may not hearken unto me. Verse 13. Therefore, will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your father, and there shall you serve false Yahweh day and night, where I will not show you faith. Verse 14. Therefore,
hold
behold.
Right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. So now you see, this is the information that on the chart, it says, Boston of Jew is like the 12 charts of Israel. Judah, now called the Black African-American Negro. See, the Black African-American Negro was really is Judah. He don't know that once upon a time ago, he was there in the position that the big dignitaries are in now. But what happened, the Yahweh and didn't keep the agreement that they made with him. And when they did not keep the agreement with him, the same thing we read in the last lesson of Judah, chapter 5, we're not reading this, you got to put them two together. When you don't do what you agree to do, then all these going to come up on you. But if you turn back to what you agreed on, then Yahweh would turn back to you. But as the present, the reason why the 17 nations can boast about you, and just like we read what we need to read one more time about the Afro-Iranians, I'll bring it back up on your phone one more time. I mean, where you got it up. It's something I want to touch on that we need to know one more time, that you can go on your own telephone and pull up the Afro-Iranians. The Afro-Iranians is children of Israel from the land of Israel over in modern-day Iraq and Iran, which is ancient Babylon, as it is this day. But they all go through school never knowing and why they second and third class citizens, because the hand of Yahweh is on you now, because you made him mad because of your agreement that was made with your mouth. Hold that point while you're looking for that, getting that word together. Mother E, somebody do the running for a minute. Mother E, in the book of Deuteronomy, where it's never been taught to mankind, but it will be taught by the six anointed camp of voices of the true Israelites. See, it's written in the book of the first five books called the Heavenly Tablets that the Almighty have did something that we can read. And we're going to see, what can we read there, Mother? We're going in Deuteronomy chapter, what I want. I want Deuteronomy chapter 20. What do I want there, Mother E? Let's see what I want. I want a statement that is written in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm looking ready, but I can't put it out right now. But I read verse 27, verse 1, and then and read verse 8 until I stall for time and peep at what I need, Mother E. I'm going to peep at it, but give me 27, verse 1 and 8. 1, 8, down to verse 10. That's good enough. Give me 27, verse 1, 8, and 10. Then I'm going to stall on what I'm looking for. By the time you get through with Deuteronomy 27, verse 1, 8 through 10, I'll be able to find what I'm looking for. You're on the clock, come on.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verses 1 and verse 8 to 10. Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded these people, saying, keep all these commandments which I command you this day. Verse 8. And thou shalt write upon the stone all the words of this sovereign sculpture very plainly. Verse 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, speak unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of your Yahweh. Verse 10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day.
My mother, that big time read you got, can you help this national audience understand what you just got through reading? Can you break it down for a mother? You just got through reading this. Excellent. Now, what did you just got through reading in front of this national audience? Tell them exactly what you just got through reading. You're on the clock. Come out.
Okay, verse 1, it says, Moses and the elders commanded all Israel to keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Tell them to keep the commandments. And they tell them to write them upon the stones. Verse 9. Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of Yahweh. So the verse 9 is saying that Israel is the people of Yahweh. And verse 10.
And what do verse 10? And break down verse 10. That's right. You're saying the right thing. So this is me. We go all through school. We go all through college. Some go to college. They never know this. This day you became the people of Yahweh. And what happened? Why we have never been told this? And that's why we put the chocolate for the people in free teaching. And they don't know who they are. And but they graduated out of school. They can write their name. And they got driver's license. That means they passed the test of a driver's license. But we show them who, ask them on the chart who they are, what will happen? That's why the nation can make statements and do what they do, because you have never been taught. And you are going to never be taught. But you will be taught, because Yahweh will have them to bring out things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world, because man is that thing that was then, and that same man's descendants is the one talking right now. Out of the mouth of the Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and the WCC. Them the same people that talking right now of old that are now. But it done came out now. So now, it done came out now, so we're going to bring it up. So now, what do verse 10 say that, Mother, that you can break down in verse 10? And Mother D of Israel have me the 29th chapter, Mother D of Israel. And I'm going to look at 9 through 15, Mother D of Israel. 9 through 15 of the 29th chapter after Mother break down verse 10.
Verse 10 is saying that Israel should obey the voice of Yahweh and do his commandments and his statutes, which I see commandments this day. So he commanded us to keep he commanded us to keep his commandments. Israel.
That's right. That's good. So, but we never been taught that, Mother. We just watch that, the other 17 nations and whatever they do, we just do it. We would never been told that the peoples of the book is the children of Israel, led by Judah, now called the Black African American Negro, now called that. We never been told that the Black African-American Negro that's called now is really the tribe of the lead tribe was in control of the known world. So now I ask, well, what happened? We read what happened. We read when it was given to you. And we're going to read how you lost it, but we also going to show you how you get it back. Now, Mother D of Israel, in the book called Deuteronomy, you might want to read verse 1 just to make it sound good, then skip down to 9 through 15, and then we'll get back to the young line and read a little bit more of what he told Jeremiah. This 29 verse 1, then skip down to 9 to 15. Let's find some more things, Mother D. F. Israel. You on, come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1, skip down to verse 9 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Verse 10. You stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh, your Yahweh, your captain of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel. Verse 11. Your little ones, your wives, and your stranger that is in your camp, from the hearing of the hearing of your wood unto the drawing of your water, verse 12, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with Yahweh, your Yahweh, and into his oath, which Yahweh, your Yahweh, made with thee this day, verse 13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee Yahweh, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Israel. Verse 14, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. Verse 15, but with him that standeth here with us this day before Yahweh, our Yahweh, and also with him that is not here with us this day.
Mom, according to verse 15, what is he saying? Can you put his mask in order and break down verse 15?
He's talking about the ones that's in the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
So what he's saying is that he's making a covenant with the one that was going eyeball to eyeball with Moses, and he also made a covenant with the one that was in the loins of the people today. So
yes.
This is a bloodline covenant for the children of Israel then and now. This has never been taught. But something else was taught about the Constitution said all men is created equal. That's what the Constitution said. But we're going to find out something that what the Bible says, that we need to be clear on what the Bible says that pertain to the stranger of the nations that was around the children of Israel. Do you know it's something written in this Bible that we just overlooked it, but we'll bring it out right now in verse number 11 concerning the stranger? What about the stranger according to verse 11? Take your time, mother, and put a little more audio in your voice because it's very important. You just ready to bring out about the other nations called the stranger. Verse 11.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 11. Your little one, your wife, and your stranger that is in your camp, from the hearing of your wood until the drawing of your water.
What did he say, Mo? What is he saying? What is Moses telling the elders and the children of Israel? What is he saying the duties of the other nation called the strangers? Although they among the children of Israel, but according to verse 11, get in that microphone and make it plain about what is he saying concerning the other nation, which called the strangers, their duties with Israel is what? According to verse 11.
The cutting down the wood and drawing the water. His servant.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You hear what the Bible saying? But it was so with the spirit of puffed up to show your dominance today. Meaning that you didn't read what it got written, Mother E in 11 verse 3. A psalm. What written in Psalm 11, verse 3, Mother? 11, verse 3. Hey, Mother E, what are you reading in 11 verse 3?
Okay, I'm getting there. Chapter 11, verse 3.
Mm-hmm. 11 verse 3. What can we read out of
11
verse
3? Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3.
And Brother Micaiah have Thomas, verse 3, waiting on me.
Book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
You see that? You see that, Mother E? You see, hey, Mother E, we go to school. We go to college. A lot of them got college degrees. But it is dumb as all our dough because they have no foundation of what they once did, and it's written in the Bible, and it never be taught to you that any time you among the other nations, their duties is to do what again? Our Mother is 29, Mother of Israel. What is their duty to do when they among you? And 29 verse 11.
To cut the wood and draw the water.
You see that? Now listen. You see? Now, where was this coming from? Did it just pop up right here? Hey, Mother, D.F. Israel, back up to 11, to the 25th chapter of Leviticus. See, I'm telling you something. When the Almighty opened the door for you to come in, you got to drive your 18-wheeler through the door. You just can't, you know, softly walk through the door. You got to go through the door to 18-wheeler. Hey, how you got to roll once they open the door for you? So now, this verse was pulled somewhere that give me the 49th chapter of Mother E. Give me Isaiah 49. Although he's here now. Isaiah 49. Hold on, Mother. I'll come back with you in a minute, Mother D.F. Israel. But I got to go through the spirit of Yahuwah. Now, you just had a 25th chapter waiting on me that we won't see what that Leviticus, where that pulled from. But we'll be back there in a minute. I want to look at something else. You know, we're going to look at 25, verse 45 and 46. We're going to look at that. But I want to go to Mother Eve, why it's hot and heavy, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. I'm coming back there again. You just write down, I just want to go to Isaiah 49 by Mother and see what he says. He made a profound statement. Well, make that the 30th chapter of Mother E. Mother E, in the 30th chapter, make it 30. 31st in Isaiah, verse 20 and 21. What do we say that we can read in Isaiah 30, verse 20 and 21?
Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 20 and verse 21. Verse 20. And though the Yahweh gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not the teacher be removed into corners anymore, but thine eyes shall see the teacher. Verse 21. And that ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left.
Yeah. So you see, it tells you, see, your teaching is not going to be here in the corner no more. And we're going to look at you, six anointed camp. And we're going to show you, this is the way. You got to walk there in. And don't turn to your left. or turn to your right. This is the way. Now, when Mother D.F. Israel read the duties of the 17 nations of the children of Israel, we read the duties, but one thing we forgot, that something will happen, Mother E. Mother E, in the 29th chapter, something will happen. I don't need just a little bit. Something will happen in the 29th chapter of Isaiah. See, something will happen that we need to read, Mother E. We need to read something in the 29th chapter on something will happen that we need to be able to read it in the 29th chapter. And all I need is three lines. Isaiah 29:16. Hey, Mother E, something will happen. But we need to read what will happen in Isaiah 29:3-16. What will happen that we can read?
Isaiah 29:16. Surely your twining of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Stop right there. So, Mother Eve, what will happen? According to verse 16, what will happen, Mother? What will happen? This thing has been turned upside down.
Right.
So that's what will happen to you, right? What will happen to you that the word of Yahweh is still straight, but in your mind, you let the other world of the other nation turn your mind upside down. You've been turned upside down now. See, now we join in with the other nation. And we be the one that use the wood and carry the water. But it was never so in the beginning.
That's right.
And that verse was pulled. It was pulled. It is supposed to be a reminder of the children of Israel to never forget it. Well, the of Israel, 25th chapter of Leviticus, particularly verse 25 and 26. Look what we can read. Well, see, the Yahweh time was Moses. The seal was Aaron. So when we read the 29th chapter, it was a reminder that you was going to get away from this thing, but it let you know once you ever get yourself back in order. Leviticus 25, 45 and 46
is going to
kick in. What
does that
have, Mother
D of Israel? Leviticus 25:45 and 46:45. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall you buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begotten in your land, and they shall be your possession. Verse 46, and you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondsmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor.
Ain't that something? You hear that, Mother D.F. Israel?
Yeah.
So, you hear the man in the train? So, do you understand that your relationship with the other nation, they have to read the contract? Hey, other nation, you got to read the contract. The contract is, you can hang out with us, but you got to fulfill your part of the contract. You don't want to fulfill it now, but it's going to happen again. And what he's doing with the six anointed camp he put the Jeremiah 40 verse 4 to see if we're going to respond to it. Read it, Brother Micaiah. So what he's doing, he's giving you a shadow of it in Jeremiah 40 verse number 4. What he say that we can read and then give me that commentary, verse 3.
Okay. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 40, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, "And now, behold, I loose you this day from the chains which were upon your hands. If it seem good unto you to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto you. But if it seem ill unto you to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before you. Whether it seemeth good and convenient for you to go, there go."
See that? See what the man did? The man that sit there right before your eyes put all the land before the six anointed camps. All the land before. He said, it's good for you, take it. But if you want to come to Babylon to stay in the world, you know, and that's what we're doing. Listen, it's time to come out of her. And look what he said in 40, verse 4. The land is before you. You know you must have your own. You had it once before. What happened? You had your own land, school, banquet hall. You had your own garden. The garden is before you. The land is before you. The school is before you. The banquet hall before you. But you you're not making no move. Why, children of Israel, especially Southern Kingdom, why are you not making no move? He put it right before you. What you want to do is come down and just say a magic word. And it no, it don't work like that. That's TV, and that's Christianity. Listen, he'll put it before you, but you don't want to follow the order of the apostles. You take the paths of the world. So now when we read Thomas, verse 3, listen to what the young lion brings out in Thomas, verse 3. What you going to bring out in Thomas, verse 3, that young lion?
Book of Thomas, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, Yahuwah the Son said, "If those who lead you say to you, see the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will proceed. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will proceed. Brethren, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the Son of the Living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in prophecy, and it is you who are that prophecy."
You see the man saying? And that's why we preach teaching right now.
Mm-hmm.
The forces of the true Israelites, 12 tribes of Israel, said, "Sir, ma'am, look on this handout and tell me, where do you stand on this? What is your nationality? Who are you according to this right here?" Well, let me see what it says. It says Judah, black, African American Negro. It says Benjamin is the Jamaican. It says Levite is the Haitian. Okay. From these three tribes, which one are you? Oh my goodness, Judah, the black African American Negro. You mean I'm Judah? Yes, you Judah. But Judah have requirements, and Judah was once were in a great position. But what don't happen now? Let's go to Jeremiah 13, verse 8 and 9. Brother Micaiah. So now it's time. Now you got their attention. Now you go to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. So now they're all ears. Let's see what it says in Jeremiah 13, verse 8 and 9 there, Brother Mackay.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 reads, then the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 9, thus says Yahuwah, after this manner will I mar the pride of Yadaju and the great pride of Yadaju.
Go ahead.
Verse 10.
8, down
this
10.
Evil people.
8, 9, 10. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Verse 10. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind, and walk after false Yahuwah to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing.
You hear that? You see what he called you? Judah? Oh, the black African-American Negro? He said, you are evil people, and you ain't good for nothing. As a matter of fact, with the precept in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. So what's the precept of that? Matthew 5, 13 down to verse 15. Let's find what the precept to this evil people, Judah, the lead tribe of the 12, he say, you ain't good for nothing. And when you ain't good for nothing, then the son pulled what we just got to read in Jeremiah, and he had the 12 among him, and he pulled that. He just altered the words a little bit different. Explain what it means by you good for nothing in the 5th chapter, 13 down to verse 15. What did he say, Brother Micaiah Israel? What did he say?
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13 down to 15. Verse 13 reads, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
So you see what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be giving light to your nation. But you ain't good for nothing. You're supposed to be giving light to your nation. But you ain't good for nothing. Because you don't even know where you are. You identify with black, African-American, Negro more than you identify with Judah. That's why they call you evil people. You refuse to hear my words. Although he, done these things to you, although he done a Jeremiah to you, Brother Micaiah, although he done a Jeremiah 8. Let's see what he did. We can read that he did. Brother Micaiah. He said he did something, and we want to read what he said he did in Jeremiah. Let's see what he did that we can read in verse number 23 down to verse 28. Let's see what we can read, Brother Micaiah. He said, you, Judah, the lead tribe, the one is called today black African American Negro, either you ain't good for nothing. And if you ain't good for nothing, you're going to be trodden down by men and kicked like a tin can a little 10-year-old kicking a tin can to school. That's how the world look at you today, because you refuse to hear his word. And that's why we street teaching now, to bring back your remembrance that you once were, and you can return, but you only can turn back by hearer and a doer of his word. Matter of fact, Mother, you read that in 2:13, Mother, in Romans. It don't happen unless you become a Romans 2:13, Mother E. So whatever we do, 2:13, what it say in Romans 2:13, it don't happen until you become a 2:13. And Mother D.F. Israel, in the book of James, going to piggyback that in 1:25 of James. So we're going to go back to back. So this is not going to happen. And that's why I say our spirit's got to be right once they identify, I'm the black African-American Negro. Now, do you all know African-American Negro is Judah? Do you all know something they did once upon a time ago? Yes. Now, you got their attention. So now, once you got their attention in the street teaching, you know, in all the land before us, now we working on something. And Mother D.F. Israel going to have me the precept, and we're going to read verse 22 down to verse number 25, James 1, 22 down to verse 25. So now, Mother E., what you reading in Romans 2:13? Come on.
The book of Romans chapter 2, verse 13. But not the hearers of the verbal instructions are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the verbal instructions shall be justified.
Not the hearers. We come on the network, and the WCC have made it plain. There's over 500,000 listeners on the international, but they say on the them. That's true, according to it. But what we're telling you, oh, children of the book, Southern Kingdom, you identify with black African-American Negro, but once you know that you Judah, now you ask those as free teaching, do you want to know anything about your forefathers and mothers in ancient times and how they were in a high position? A city that sit on the hill that Brother Makai just got to read. Why now you in a beggar's position? Do you want to know why? The majority going to say, yes, I want to know. Yes. That's when you got to teach, six anointed camp. Now it's time for you to flat out teach. Whether they got on days to do, or they Lord God and Jesus with. And maybe they might have on a short miniskirt. Whatever they got on, might have a bald head and a smooth face, like an orange face with no hair on their face. Ignore all that.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the word of Yahweh. Huh? My old smooth face, old baby face. Might want to act so bad, brother, you can't go hair. Yeah, I can go hair, but it's, you know, hair makes you look wild. You might want to get in there. No, get in there. Give him some word first. Ignore his present stature. And ask him a question. After he tell you that he's, I'm black, African-American, and Negro. Okay? Well, before that, to the left is that. That is Judah, the fourth son of Israel, whose name was Jacob, mm-hmm. Israel. You know anything about him? Yeah. Good. And you start teaching some good talk.
Right.
Huh? Then you talk some good talk. Now, James, pull that verse, Mother of Israel, and 1:22 out of verse 25. And what did he say that we can read? Come on.
James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Verse 22. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
That's big talk. That's a great big old talking read. Read verse 25 again. What's the key points in 25, Mother? Read verse 25 to gather your thoughts real clear. Look what he says here in 25. Gather your thoughts and address the national audience on verse 25. Read again and gather your thoughts on it and deliver. Verse 25.
James chapter 1, verse 25. I'm reading. James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
Ain't that something? Now, Mother, that's for the national audience, Mother. You want to get at that verse 25 for the national audience? What is it saying, Mother? D.F. Israel.
If you be a Torah keeper and you got to continue in Torah keeping, not just a hearer, but a doer, and then you're going to be blessed.
That's big talk, Mom. That's big talk. So you might have precept that in Titus. You might have precept that in Titus, that mother. And look at the third chapter of Titus, verse 8 and 14. You might have precept it, mother. You might have just going to make it plain. And look at Titus 3, 8 and 14. You say, you can't be a hero of this word or just get in it and all of a sudden think you got it and you got it. No, it don't work like that. So we have a precept that by Brother Titus when he breaks it down exactly what James and all of them were talking about, what Paul was talking about. He breaks it down. Titus came behind him and broke it down in 3, 8, and 14. What do you say we can read? Come on.
Titus chapter 3, verses 8 and 14. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And those things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahuwah might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14. And let our also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful.
Hey, that's that big verse there, Mother. What is it saying here? What is it saying, Mother? And it, I don't got nervous now. So what did John tell us in verse 8 and 14?
Oh.
Mother, Israel, what did you tell us? I don't got nervous now, Mother.
Okay, let me read it.
What did John tell us?
This is a faithful saying, and those things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. This the good works is keeping the Torah instruction.
Well, that's good enough. Let me know that you can't hit this in you know, you got a day and you can put it to side tomorrow. No, you got to maintain it. You got to maintain it. Like, you know, you got to maintain this thing, this good work thing. If you don't, it says unfruitful to you. So you got to maintain this good work. You just can't hit this and all of a sudden think that's at the end of it. No, you got to go all the way with this thing. You got to roll your sleeves up and maintain this good work all the way in. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll pause right now, and we'll bring back our elder in and get his closing statements on take number 129, and then we'll bring the best part of the broadcast of Mother Z in, and then we'll come back, and we'll get back with Brother Micaiah. I know he got something he's holding from me. If it's no more in Jeremiah 14, 1, 2, 3, 7 through 12. Had that waiting on me after we bring back our elder in. We'll tell you about a special edition called Thursday Evening, tape number 129. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Come on.
Acts chapter 6, verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Verse 11. Then which said, we have heard him speak blaspheming words against Moses and against Yahweh. Verse 11. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caused him and brought him to the court council. And then I'm going to go to Luke 21 and 16. I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Luke chapter 21, verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to resist. I read that over. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Verse 16. and he shall be destroyed, both the betrayed. And he shall be betrayed both by parents and brothers and kindred and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Verse 17. And he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 18. But they shall not in hair of your head perish. Verse 19. In your possess ye your soul. Verse 20. And when ye shall see Yada Judah compassion with, then know that the desolation therefore is near. And I would just like to leave that with the national orders and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That was excellent, there, Mother. That's excellent. Hey, Mother, E, you might as well just throw a precept in. When all this happened, we better see them in Jeremiah 5:14 saying what? So, Mother E, what does it say in Jeremiah 5:14? When all this good stuff, Mother Z just got through reading. So, what? Did Jeremiah, they pulled it from Jeremiah pertaining to all the other nations. And 5:14, what did it say there, Mother Eve?
The book of Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Book of Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, Wherefore, thus says the Yahweh of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make your word in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them.
Devour them. So you see that? So you see, by speaking this word, his word going to come out like fire, and they're going to be wood. And it's going to devour them. So that is what just need, right? All we got to do is get an order according to the word of Yahweh. So Brother Makai, he's making the plain, Exodus 32:26. What is he saying, Brother Makai, that we can read? In the book of Exodus 32:26. Can you make it plain now, young lion?
Going to the book of Exodus, chapter 32:26. 26 reads. You say Exodus 32:26? Yeah, 26
yes.
Reads. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on Yahweh's side? Let him come unto me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him.
So you see, that same thing 690 camp is saying. You know, who on Yahweh's side? Then you got to come on to us. Huh? We don't get an order for the big gathering. Because if you don't come, Yahweh the Son pull at it and 12 verse 30. So if you don't come, look what we can read over here in Matthew 12 verse 30. Suppose you decide to want to sit on the fence after you hearing what the six anointed camp said, come. Let's see what Yahweh pulled that verse of what he said in 12, verse 10, and you tell me what'll happen that we can read. Come on, brother, young liar.
The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 30 reads, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
So what'll happen? So what'll happen, see, Ray? What'll happen? He said, if you're on Yahweh's side, come. So he said, if you're not with the 6 anointed camps called Voice of the Truth, like you might be with the WCC or the Latter-day Saints or the Catholic Church. And what's that big word they got going on again? Pronounce that big word again and the definition.
Despotism.
What's that big word again and the definition?
Despotism. The exercise of absolute power, especially in a cruel and oppressive way. Despotism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being sneaky. See, they'll hear them cook the books on you. They being sneaky with you. They don't claim dominion, but they have done it by sneaky. See that? Time for that. Well, then sealed be revealed. But let's get back to what happened to the children of Southern Kingdom in the 14th chapter of Brother Micaiah. Let's see what Yahweh said is about those that he said, you're not with me, you're going to be scattered. So what will happen? You scatter, right? That's why we got to come and do street teaching with you, right? But let's see what Jeremiah was told by the Almighty if you want to remain scattered. We're going to see what he said in the 14th chapter, 1, 2, and 3, and 7 down to verse 12. Now, suppose you want to remain scattered. You can pay off, no, never mind. Let's see what Yahweh has written for you that we can read, especially you Southern Kingdom. You know, the one that is identified more with the 12 tribes of Israel for being the black African-American Negro, the tribe of Judah. Let's see what he got written that we can read in the 14th chapter 1, 2, and 3, 7 down to verse 12. You on. Come on, Brother Micaiah.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, verses 1, 2, 3, verses 7 down to 12. Verse 1 reads, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah concerning the dark. Verse 2, Yada do the morning, and the gates there of language. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Yada Judah is gone up. Verse 3, and their nobles have sent their little ones to the war. They came to the pit and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their head. Verse 7, O Yahweh, though I sin, testify against us. So do you it for your name's sake. For our backsliding are many. We have sinned against you. Verse 8, hold the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. Why should you be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turned aside to tarry for a night? Verse 9, why should you be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet you, O Yahweh, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Leave us not. Verse 10, thus says Yahweh to the people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, Yahweh do not accept them. He will now remember their sins and visit their sins. Verse 11, then said Yahweh to me, pray not for this people for their good. Verse 12, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblations, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence.
Verse 13, Yahweh said, he said, pray not for these people. If you're not going to come. He said, pray not for you. See, we can't ignore this, because they might call all day long, Father, would you pray for me? I cannot. My prayer don't get past my ankle. You won't do right. See, first of all, you got to do right. He said, pray not for these people. They refuse to hear my word. They forget to come. See? So that's why he's telling you, see, well, you got to have a record. The reason why things happen, because they have to be, got to maintain good works. And good works is, in Romans 7, verse 12, Brother Micaiah, what is good works that we can read in 7, verse 12 of Romans?
The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 12. The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, wherefore, the Torah instruction is righteous, and the Torah instruction righteous, and just and good.
So you see, Yahweh is telling us, if you're not going to keep the righteous Torah instruction, pray not for this people. This people can be of your own family. If you're not keeping the Torah instruction, my prayer would not get past my ankle for you. So when you call with a headache and all of a sudden something going on wrong, hey, Mom, would you pray for me? I can pray for you, but that'd be my feeling. But my prayer will get past my ankle because you won't do good. Do good, and then my prayers will get past my ankle on you. So sometimes you wonder why prayers don't get nowhere. Because your family members got to do good. Torah keeper. Then the prayer, it will work. So don't get excited and say, go a prayer. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my husband. Pray for my wife. Pray for my auntie. Your auntie got to do good first. You see what the man is saying? So they got to understand you got to sit down and hear the word. You got to do good for Yahweh to intervene. And that's keep the Torah instruction. So if you don't do that, you know, brother called me one time. Hey, Phil, can you pay for me right now? I said, what time it is in the morning? It's 3:15 in the morning. I said, where you at, brother? I'm hanging outside the window. The man coming in the front door. I said, you doing what? I'm hanging outside the window. The man coming up. What you doing? At 3 o'clock in the morning, brother. How can I pray for you and man? You and the man is out at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the man's been gone. That's what she told me. So I'm hanging out the window. Pray for me. How can I pray for you and you're doing the wicked stuff? That should not cover. You're doing it anyway. So you see what we're trying to tell you, Steve, are you? You got to tell your little one. Sit your little one down and say, listen. Mama's prayer, daddy's prayer, uncle's prayer ain't getting nowhere if you don't do good. And how you do good, Mother E, read how you do good, Mother E. The 19th chapter 16 and 17 of Matthew. Hey, Mother E, how you do good? Let's read about how to do good. The 19th chapter verse 16 and 17. You all, Mother E, come on.
Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16 and verse 17. I think chapter 19.
16. Make it 16 and 17. Make it 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16. And behold, one come and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahweh the Father. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the Torah and stuff, the commandment.
Yeah. So you see, you have to sit your family down and tell them, you know, you got to do good, baby. You don't want to do good. You want to run around with these old worldly women? Then you all did not. Now you not wrong with you. With you read your scripture. See, you're back against the wall now, baby. It ain't gonna do you no good until you turn to Yahweh. See, all you're doing is worrying yourself, because I can't you worry me no more, because I got to be used in other manners. Because it's telling you, you got to do good before this thing hit, and it's going to hit. Now, Mother D of Israel, let's go to Sirach 33, and we'll pick up at verse 4. We'll read a little bit, Mother D of Israel. We're going to Sirach. And Brother Micaiah, have me the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, 1 through 27. Had that waiting on me. It's going to come back and show you that Yahweh is the people of this thing all the time. But you won't continue to do right. Look what it says in Sirach 33 there, Mother D of Israel. Let's read a little bit from verse 4 till we get our point. Come on.
Sirach chapter 33, verse 4. Prepare what to say, and so thou shalt be heard. And bind up the instructions, and then make answer. Verse 5. The mind of the foolish is like a craft wheel, and his thoughts are like a rolling axe tree. Verse 6. I can't pronounce that word. Horse is as a marking friend. He kneeleth under everyone that sitteth upon him. Verse 7. Why do one day excel another, when as all the light of every day in the year is of the sun, S-U-N. Verse 8. But the
good.
Knowledge...
Hold that point right there. Hold that point. Go ahead and read verse 8. Then read verse 8, then skip down to Leviticus 24, 1 and 8. Read verse 8, Mother. Then skip down to Leviticus 24, 1 and 8.
Okay. Leviticus 24.
Read verse 8.
I know.
Say
it's
33. Read verse 8. Yeah, read verse 8. Then skip down to 24, verse 1 and 8 of Leviticus.
Sirach 33, verse 8. By the knowledge of Yahweh, they were distinguished, and he altered seasons and feasts.
Now back up, Mother. Now back up to Leviticus 24, verse 1 and verse 8.
Leviticus chapter 24. Verses 1 and verse 8. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 8, every Sabbath ye shall set it in order before Yahweh continuously, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
Every Sabbath you set that in order before the children of Yahweh, you children of Israel. Every Sabbath, you got six vocations. Make one and do the rules of Yahweh. That's all. Make one. Make them. As long as you got life in your body, do what the man say. You want the blessing? Do what the man tell you to do. Now, don't think he don't know what he's saying. Wisdom Solomon there, Brother Micaiah. Let's go to 12th chapter 1 down to verse 27. Let's read the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1. Wisdom of Solomon, young lion, chapter 12, 1 through 27. Take your time, come on.
The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, verse 1 down to 27. Verse 1 reads, for your incorruptible spirit is in all things. Verse 2. Therefore, testing you them by little and little that offend, and warn them by putting them in remembrance wherein they have offended, that leaving their wickedness, they may believe on you, O Yahweh. Verse 3. For it was your will to destroy by the hands of our fathers both those old inhabitants of the righteous land. Verse 4. Whom you hate for doing most odious works of witchcraft and wicked sacrifices. Verse 5. And also those merciless murderers of children and devourers of man's flesh and the thief of blood. Verse 6. With their priests out of the midst of their adulterous crew and the parents that killed with their own hands those destitute of help. Verse 7. That the land which you estimated above all others might receive a worthy colony of Yahuwah's children. Verse 8. Nevertheless, even those you spared as man and did send watch and watch forerunners of thine host to destroy them by little and little. Verse 9. Not that you was unable to bring the unyahwali under the hand of the righteous in battle, or to destroy them at once with cruel beasts, or with one rough word. Verse 10. But executing your judgments upon them, by little and little, you gave them place of repentance, not being ignorant that they were a naughty generation, and that their malice was bred in them, and that their congestion would never be changed. Verse 11. For it was a cursed seed from the beginning. Neither did you, for fear of any man, give them pardon for those things wherein they sinned. Verse 12. For who shall say, what has he done? Or who shall withstand your judgment? Or who shall accurse you for the nations that perish? Whom you has made? Or who shall come to stand against you to be revenged for the unrighteous man? Verse 13. For neither is there any Yahuwah but you that cares for all, to whom you mightest show that your judgment is not unright. Verse 14. Neither shall king or tyrant be able to set his face against you for any whom you have punished. Verse 15. For so much then as you are righteous yourself, you order all things righteously, thinking it not agreeable with your power to condemn him that hath not deserved to be punished. Verse 16. For your power is the beginning of righteousness, and because you are Yahuwah of all, it makes you to be gracious unto all. Verse 17. For when man will not believe that you are of a full power, you show your strength, and among them that know it, you make their boldness manifest. Verse 18. But you, mastering your power, judge with equity and order us with great favor. For you may use power when you will. Verse 19. But by such works has you taught your people that the just man should be merciful, and has made your children to be of a good hope, that you give repentance for sins. Verse 20. For if you did punish the enemies of your children and the condemned to death with such deliberation, giving them time and place whereby they might be delivered from their malice. Verse 21. With how great circumspection did you judge your own sons, unto whose fathers you have sworn and made covenants of good promise. Verse 22. Therefore, whereas you did testing us, you scourged our enemies 1,000 times more, to the intent that when we judge, we should carefully think of your goodness, and when we ourselves are judged, we should look for mercy. Verse 23. Wherefore, whereas men have lived it slowly. Let me read that over. Verse 23, wherefore, whereas men have lived dissolutely and unrighteously, you have tormented them with their own abomination. 24, for they went astray very far in the ways of error, and held them for Yahweh, which even among the beasts of their enemies were despised, being deceived, as children of no understanding. Verse 25, therefore unto them, as to children without the use of reason, you did send a judgment to mock them. Verse 26, but they that would not be reformed by that correction, wherein he dealt with them, shall feel a judgment worthy of Yahweh. Verse 27, for look, for what things they grudged when they were punished, that is, for them whom they thought to be Yahweh, now being punished in them, when they saw it, they acknowledged him to be the true Yahweh, whom before they denied to know, and therefore came extreme damnation upon them.
Read verse 11 and 24 again.
Okay. The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, verse 11 and verse 24. Verse 11 reads, for it was a cursed seed from the beginning. Neither did you, for fear of any man, give them pardon for those things wherein they sinned. Verse 24. For they went astray very far in the ways of error, and held them for Yahweh, which even among the beasts of their enemies were despised, being deceived as children of no understanding.
What book do you call a cursed seed? What verse was that you read there, Bubba Kai?
Verse 11.
What verse is that?
Verse
yeah,
11.
Read verse 11 again.
12, 11. Okay, verse 11 reads, for it was a cursed seed from the beginning. Neither did you, for fear of any man, give them pardon for those things wherein they sinned.
Take that up. He says, hey, Mother E, he made a final statement. He said this was a cursed seed from the beginning. That's what he said, Mother. Let's see if we start painting a picture on what we're talking about. There's a curse seed from the beginning by going to Isaiah 34 and pick verse 5 through 8. See, you got it. Now you got to start running it down and see. He said this was a curse seed from the beginning. From the beginning. You know what the beginning is? Yeah, all the way back of creation. Let's see what we're talking about that we can read as a curse seed from the beginning. Isaiah 34. Verse 5 through 8. What
does
it say there, Mother E?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 5 through 8. Verse 5. For my sword shall be bated in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Adun and upon the people of my court to judge me.
Or my church. Wait, hold on. The people of my curse. He said, gonna come down on Edomia, which is another word for Esau and his five sons. He said, he goes, my sword's gonna come down them, the people of my curse. That what he said there, Mother E.
Mm-hmm.
You can retract that and bring it out. But that what he's saying, Edomia mean Esau. He said, mm-hmm. They are the people of my curse. That I got a sword waiting on them. Now come on back with that, come on.
Isaiah chapter 14, verse 5. For my sword shall be dated in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Adini, who saw in the five sons, and upon the people of my court, curse, to judge me. Verse 6, the sword of the Yahweh is feel the blues. It is made fat with fat and with the blood of lamb and goat, with the fat of the kidney of ram. For the Yahweh has a sacrifice in Bozrah, the city of Esau, and a great slaughter in the land of Adin, Esau, in the 5:7. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullock with the bull, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Verse 8. For it is the day of the Yahweh's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of vine. Not God Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He says it's about the controversy of who the land belongs to. You know, the land over there in Judah, Southern Kingdom. He said, I know the peoples in the land said it's their land. He said, I'm going to sell it that who really belongs in the land once they come back to themselves. Mother D of Israel. In the 39th chapter of Ezekiel, he said, once these people return back in the mind, he said, I'm going to settle that controversy that's over there in the land. But a few things got to happen that we can read that, Mother D.F. Israel. What can we read that got to happen that we can read in the 39th chapter of Ezekiel? We'll pick up verse 21 down to verse 29. Let's see if we can read that, Mother D.F. Israel. We're going to the 39th chapter of the book called Ezekiel, because there's a controversy about that land. But he told Ezekiel that he got something written that we need to know about it to tell our loved ones what we can read in Ezekiel 39, verse 21, down to verse 29. Mother D of Israel, Ezekiel 39, 21, to
29,
you're on the clock, come on.
Ezekiel chapter 29, 39, 21 to 29. Ezekiel chapter 20, 39, verse 21. Verse 21. And I will set my honor among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. Verse 22. So the family of Israel shall know that I am Yahweh, their Yahweh, from that day and forward. 23. And the heathen shall know that the family of Israel went into captivity for their sins, because they sinned against me. Therefore, hide I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. 24. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgression, sin have I done unto them and hid my face from them. 25. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, now will I bring again the captivity of Israel and have mercy upon the whole family of Israel and will be jealous for my righteous name. Verse 26. After that they have borne their shame and all their sins whereby they have sinned against me, when they dwell safely in their land and none made them afraid. 27. when I had brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemy's land and sacrificed in them in the sight of many nations. 28. Then shall they know that I am Yahweh, their Yahweh, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. 29. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the family of Israel, says Yahweh.
That's plain. That's real plain. Mother E, he said he's going to pull out that spirit at a closing statement, Mother E. So what spirit he got to pull out on him? And that's why with the street teaching got to go forward and heavier. So what spirit he got to pull out on him, Mother E, if he can read in a closing statement, going to 122 and 23 of Proverbs? What spirit he got to pull on him, Mother E? And 122 and verse 23 that we all can read together and a
close
statement, Mother E.
Come on. Proverbs chapter 1.
Verse 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Alone, be simple one. We love
simplicity. He said, how long you simple one will you love simplicity? He said, how long are you going to stay listening to all these big dignitaries run they fat mouth and you don't listen to the words from the six anointed camp? He said, how long are you going to keep on doing this? That's what he's saying, simplicity. Back on the clock, Mother E, come on.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 21. Verse 22. But that's 22 and 21, yes.
No, 22 and 23. And 23. Okay. Let's see what he said about this simplicity. He said, how long you gonna love simplicity? Simplicity, what we heard in the beginning of the tape, when they let us know they run everything according to religious matters. You might run religious matters, but you don't run Yahweh matters at all. So in 122 and 23, there are Mother E, and a closing statement, come out.
Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22. Alone, you simple ones, do you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorners, and fools hate knowledge. Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words.
Yeah. So the spirit gonna pull out his word, and that's what we gotta come in at this anointed camp. We gotta step it up and give them the word. And I can let them come as they are. And the word supposed to clean them up. And matter of fact, Mother D.F. Israel had that waiting on me, Mother D.F. Israel, 119 verse number 8 or 9 in Psalms. See, the word supposed to clean you up. So, Mother E, what's your closing statement is behind that? You on the clock, come on.
Only Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to read one verse, 31. Envy thy not the oppressed, and keep thy ways. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And 12 tribes of Israel that scattered. Hold on. Mother E said, hold on. All you got to do is continue to listen, but be a doer of the listening. Just hold on. That was Mother E just said. Hold on. Hold on to our tribe. Now, Mother D.F. Israel, what you getting ready to read, Mother D.F. Israel?
Psalm 119, verses 8 and 9.
Okay.
Psalm 119, verse 8. I will keep your statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man clean his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to your word.
So you see, that's how you clean yourself up. You got to get some word in you. So young man, young woman, you, all you can be clean is get some word in you. Let's preach up that mother to Revelation 12:17 and 14, verse 12, in a closing statement. Revelation 12, verse 17, then go rest to verse 14 and read verse 12. Revelation 12, 17, kick it off. Again, 14, verse 12, and a closing statement. You're on the clock. Come on.
Okay, that's fine. You said Revelation chapter 12, verse 17.
That's yes, then swing right down to 14, verse 12, and a closing statement. Come on.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the Torah instructions of Yahuwah and have the testimony of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the Torah instructions of Yahuwah the Father and the faith, the covenant of Yahuwah the Son.
What you going to say behind that, Mother D.F. Israel?
Psalm
118. Take your time and bring your closing statement.
Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. 23. This is Yahuwah's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Right. That's who it is. This is Yahuwah's doing. See, it's no accident that they dropped them powerful statements on, you know, earlier about their dominions and religious matters. Well, religious is something that man may have been away. Yahuwah didn't give children of Israel no religion. He gave what? Statutes, laws, commandments. If you do this, you got this coming. If you don't do it, you ain't got nothing coming. So that's what he told you. So he tell you, if you do this, you got this coming. If you don't do it, you got that coming. So now it's up to you. He tells you what to do. And our job is to come back and tell you exactly what the man's saying. You know, and he's talking plain with us. We got to do what the man say. And what did the man say that we supposed to do? Maybe we can find out in the book of Maccabees, a young lion. What is written that we supposed to do that we can read in the book of Maccabees 14, verse 9? Hey, young lion, Buck Micaiah, what can we read we supposed to be doing that we can read in 1 Maccabees 14, verse 9?
Book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 14, picking it up at verse 9. Book of Maccabees, chapter 14, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, moreover, he strengthened all those of his people that were bought low. The law he searched out. And every contemner of the law and wicked person, he took away.
Yeah, read a bit more.
15. He beautified the temple and multiplied the vessels of the temple. Verse 16. Now, when it was heard
at
Rome.
Well, hold on. Well, hold on there, Brother Micaiah. Hold on, Brother Micaiah. You all right where you're at, but come back and look at 14, verse 9 and 10 real carefully. There, Brother Micaiah. First Maccabees chapter 14, verse 9 and verse 10. Although you own something, but let's get up to 9 and 10 in. Come on.
Okay, verse 9. The book of First Maccabees chapter 14. Verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 reads, the ancient man set all in the street, communing together of good things. And a young man put on glorious and warlike apparel. Verse 10. He provided victuals of the city and set in them all manner of munitions, so that his honorable name was renowned unto the end of the world.
Here he said the elders, they sit there and they watch the young man. They had on what in verse number 9? They had on what? In verse 9, Brother Micaiah?
Verse 9. The ancient man sat all in the streets, communing together of good things. And the young man put on glorious and warlike apparel.
Take that something. He said, you know, the old elders ran back in the cut. They were sitting up on the tree and they were watching the young man. What was the end that made the ancients just ran back and look at him? Isaiah 52 verse 1. What were they working with? And verse 8. And what's going on in Isaiah 52 verse 1 and 8, young lion? You know, so the elders ran, they was laying back watching it. The young, they was in a glory of garments of apparel, they had their mitre on, they glorious apparel, which means they had their fringes on. They was ran back and they were watching. So job well done. Isaiah 52 verse 1, let's talk about it. Come on.
The book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1. Verse 1 reads, awake, put on your strength, O Yadadu, put on your beautiful garment, O Yadadu, the righteous city. For henceforth, there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean.
Verse 8.
He said, lift up the voice. With the voice together, they shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye.
Uh-huh.
When Yahweh shall bring again, Yahweh
shall see. Hold on now, Brother Micaiah. They're supposed to see eye to eye. When in the verse number, how would the old elders be seeing eye to eye in verse number 52, verse 1? How would the elders see eye to eye when they watch all the young men in their glorious garments? How would they see eye to eye that we can read that make the old elders just read back and like what's going on? And 52 verse 1, come on.
The book of Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1. Verse 1 reads, awake, put on your strength, O Yadadu. Put on your beautiful garment, O Yadadu, the righteous city. For henceforth, there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean.
You see that? So he said, if you want to get the heebie-jeebies off of you, what's called other nations, and they won't be all that boasting so much, he says, all you got to do is return what the elders look at you and say, oh, okay. Number 15, 1, 2, 37 to 41. So he's saying, listen, he said, hey, the young men and the young women, put on them garments and make sure on them garments that we can look down and see something that we can read. Number 15, 1, 2, 37 to 41. Brother Micaiah, come up.
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 37 down to 41. Verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you become into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you. Verse 37. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringe in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Verse 39. And it shall come, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah instructions of Yahweh, and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind, and your own eyes, after which you used to go a horn. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my Torah instructions, and be righteous unto your Yahweh. Verse 41, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought you out of the land of Mezarim to be your Yahweh. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Deuteronomy 22:5-12.
What does it say there, young man? Deuteronomy 22:5-12. Well, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 5 and verse 12. Verse 5 reads, the woman shall not wear that which pertain unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12, you shall make you fringes upon the four corners of your vessel, wherewith you cover yourself.
So in 2:11-13, what did Yahweh show the children of Israel? A future shot. He showed them a future shot there, young lion. What did he say in the 22nd chapter 11:9-13? If you're not going to do what you just heard out of tape 129, what can we read there, young lion? 22:11-13 of Matthew.
Okay, going to the book of Matthew. Chapter 22:11-13. The book of Matthew. Chapter 22:11. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12. And he said unto him, verse 12, it said unto him, friend, how come you in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speaking. Verse 13, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So what we supposed to be doing right now that we can read in Judges 5:11? So what we supposed to be doing day to day in Judges 5:11 there, young lion?
Going to the book of Judges. Going to chapter 5. Pick it up at verse 11. Going to the book of Judges. Chapter 5, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, they that are delivered from the noise of archers and the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of Yahweh. The righteous acts towards
the
inhabitants.
The righteous acts is wearing prison and garments. Give me Colossians 3:5-10, a closing statement. Remember tomorrow, the broadcast on at 7:30. 7:30 tomorrow on Friday and feast days, 7:30 tomorrow. Colossians 3:5-10, a closing statement there, Brother Micaiah. So we got to rehearse the righteous act. Colossians 3, 5-10 and close the statement. You on. Come on.
Book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 5 and verse 10. Verse 5 reads, mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, unclean, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is idolatry. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
So you got to put on a new man. And all the way you put on a new man, you have to understand what's written is old, from days of old. Children of Israel, you got to follow the six anointed camps. Put your fringes on. Don't leave home without it. That's the game changer. And get in order the way Yahweh said. Put the fringes in your clothing. You got the blessing coming. You're only destroying yourself by not having fringes on at the end of whatever garment you got on. So, Micaiah, until we meet on top part of the Sabbath day, it's all yours. Take us home on the special edition called Thursday evening. It's all yours. Shalom to all. Come on.
Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity to learn under the seer, Israel.